Well, welcome everyone, and hey, some of you are kind of new to ANCF, and I think it's important that you know that the pastoral team is approachable, and so I want to introduce you a little to a picture of our pastoral team so you know that we're really approachable, okay? So this is our pastoral team, and I warned the guys when we took this picture that it might be dangerous, that if it ever got out, and here it is. You see, my idea about Jesus is that he was enjoyable to be around, you know. If little kids felt comfortable with Jesus and tax collectors and others, we want to be like Jesus. I'm not sure he would address like this, but, you know, maybe like this. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I came across those pictures this week, and I said, "Hey, I just want to share them with the church." And so there we go, Pastor Tim and Pastor Jude and Pastor Vu and myself. There we are. Well, we are going through a series of messages in the book of Joshua, and as Pastor Tim shared, starting a couple weeks ago, it's the belief and the conviction of the pastoral team that God is bringing us into a season of growing our faith in such a way is that as our faith grows, the outcome is going to be not only expansion of our faith, but expansion of the kingdom, that those two things go together. That when we trust God more, God works through our lives more, and as he works through us to accomplish his purpose in the world, his kingdom expands. So that's what we're believing God for, that as we go through the book of Joshua, that something's going to happen that in our lives, that God is going to be speaking to us to give us increased faith. Now, faith not in a general sense, but faith in a way that we know to trust God for specific things in our life, that we're not just believing that God exists, but that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. And so 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tim began in Joshua chapter 1, talked about how God wanted to build the faith of Joshua for the task that was before him of bringing the people into the land that God had given to them by promise, that they were to possess in fullness the things that God had prepared for them. But in order for that to take place, that Joshua had to operate in faith. And so God encouraged him in his faith to trust him, to not to be afraid, to not be discouraged, to go ahead with everything that God had prepared for him. And then last week we saw Pastor Tim then began to, or shared with us further, that not only did God speak to Joshua to encourage his faith, but then Joshua encouraged others in their faith so that they too would be courageous and take hold of what God had for them, that they were a part of it. It wasn't just Joshua that was going to see it happen. It was Joshua and the people of God together. And that's always the way it is. We have individual faith in God, but God joins us together with others' faith so that we advance and do the works of God together. And so today, we're going to look at faith as it was expressed through a particular woman now as we're introduced to her in the book of Joshua. Her name is Rahab. And Rahab is a prostitute. And we're going to see that oftentimes that people who we consider unlikely are the very people who God will use to teach us what faith looks like. And I believe that God really wants us to pay attention because not every word we should pay attention to, but God specifically in Hebrews chapter 11, when he's giving us illustrations of faith, and when he says, this is what faith looks like, he gives us this woman and this story to say, this is what faith is like. And so we ought to pay attention. And let's go ahead and pray that God would speak to our hearts today. Lord, we do thank you that your word is given to us for our teaching and for our rebuking and for our correction, for training us in righteousness. And Lord, we ask you that you would use your word for that purpose today, that you'd show us our own lives, that where there's a lack of faith, Lord, we could repent. Lord, where you're stirring in faith, that we could act on it. Lord, that where we need to move ahead, we will, that we will be people who take risks because following you is preferable than staying safe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the story is found in Joshua chapter 2. It's kind of a longer story, but I decided not to put it up on the screen. You can either open your Bible there and read along with me, or listen carefully as I read it and stay focused on the story. We're going to read all of Joshua chapter 2. Again, the context is they're just at the on the side of the river, Jordan, and they've not yet crossed over into the land, but they're preparing. And this is what it says in Joshua 2:1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have to come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, oath you made us swear will not be binding on us, unless when we enter the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers, and your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house into the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. As for anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given us the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Okay. So, the first thing is, faith is not passive or presumptive, but it's active in finding out God's plan. We see in verse 1 that Joshua decides to send two spies into the land. Now, God had already told Joshua very clearly, listen, I'm giving you this land. I'm promising you this is what I'm going to do. Now, that didn't register in Joshua's mind that, oh, therefore I don't need to do anything. Since God has promised me victory, since God is going to give us the victory, I just am passive. No, Joshua understood that they still were going to have to go in and fight. They were still going to go in, and they were going to have to discern how God wanted to do it. Although God had promised them the victory, he had not given them the specific instructions. This is the way it's going to happen. This is the way I want you to do it. And so Joshua, following in the example of Moses, who previously had sent out 12 spies, of which he was one. 40 years before this, Joshua himself had gone into the land to spy it out. And so remembering that, and we talked about that example where the 12 spies had gone into the land, and what happened? They came back, and 10 of them gave a negative report. And they instilled fear in the hearts of the people so that they would not go in. But 2 of them, including Joshua, said, "We can do it because God has given us the land." Well, I think Joshua said this time, "Hey, let's just dispense with the 10. Let's get rid of the 10 who had no faith. We'll just send 2 this time. Let me pick the 2 that have faith and we'll send them in." I like that. Joshua said, "Hey, let's not commit the same mistake we did last time. I'm not going to send in people who are going to have no faith and come back and do the same thing again. We're not doing that road again." And I think this is really important for us to see that it's time when we've had a failure in faith to make sure we don't go back down that road again, to learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. It was a bitter lesson for Joshua to have to wait 40 years wandering around in the desert because of the failure of people to have faith at that time. Now, Joshua isn't going to let that happen this time. So he must have carefully picked these 2 guys and said, "Okay, you go in and you come back and give a good report because God is giving us the land." He reiterated that to them. And I think that as they are going to go into the land, it's interesting where he says, "Go into the land, especially to Jericho." Now, Jericho was the first city that was 5 miles on the other side of the river that they were going to come to. But it was the most fortified. It was the most difficult city in the land. And Joshua was going to face it head on. He wasn't going to say, you know, they had gone round and round in circles in the desert. But Joshua says to these spies, "I want you to go in and we're going to face it head on. We're going to recognize there is an obstacle in our path to doing what God wants us to do, and we are not going to avoid it." This is also really important. You know, many times in our life, when there are obstacles in our path, we want to take the easy road around them. We want to say, "Hey, maybe a little bit later on." But God is giving the courage to say, "Let me do the difficult thing first, and let's find out." And these spies are supposed to go in and gather information about the land. Now, Joshua had already gone in 40 years and gotten information. So why not just rely on the information from 40 years ago? Well, things change in 40 years. And I think we need to understand that just because something was one way, 40 years later it's not going to be the same way. And I think that has implications for us in the way we do church, the way we do ministry. Just because it was done some way years ago doesn't mean we should continue to do it that way. Culture changes, situations change. We need to learn how to flow with what God is saying in this day, in this age. We need to know what are the issues that we're facing now. For example, I mean, I'm not going to go into this too much, but you've heard me say this before. I think one of the, maybe the most vital issue facing this culture in this day, I don't know if you'd say this 40 years ago, but we can say it today. The most vital issue in America is the family. Because what is happening in the family today in America is basically so problematic, so troubled, so disturbed, that if there's not a solution there, a spiritual solution, then whatever else is coming is going to be lost. Because God wants to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to the fathers. So I'm just saying, we need to know they needed to know where they were in when they went into the scout out the land, to spy out the land in that day. What was it that they were going to face? And what did God want to do in Jericho? All right, so this is Joshua's way that he was active in faith, was by sending these spies into the land and just sending 2 of them. Okay, next we see that faith can lead us into unusual circumstances. Because we are told in verse 1, they went to Jericho and then they entered into a home of a prostitute. Now, I kind of imagine, you know, after the story, at the end of the story, they come back and they give a report to Joshua. Joshua says, you know, oh, tell me what happened. They say, hey, God is with us. He's giving us the land. Oh, how did God lead you? Where'd you stay? You tell him. no, you tell him. Well, I'll tell you, it was really amazing. I mean, we walked into that city and God had someone prepared for us. Who was it? Well, we went to stay with a prostitute. Guys, come on now. Oh, well, but she had faith. I think sometimes it's kind of difficult to tell these stories. I mean, I don't know. These guys had a difficult story to tell, but I'm sure as they told it, Joshua was with them. And I think the fact is that God had prepared this woman ahead of time. That in the midst of this city that was under the judgment of God because it was resistant to the ways of God, because it was refusing to acknowledge God, because this city had set itself up against God and against the purpose of God to bless them. You know, God wanted to bless Jericho. Whenever we're going to start to read about the book of Joshua and we read about this warfare and you see a city get destroyed, you might conclude, well, God was not wanting to bless Jericho. He wanted to bless every person in Jericho. But the only way to receive the blessing was through faith, because God was working out a purpose in the earth through his people to send a Savior that was going to bless all nations. But Jericho and the other cities that said no to God, not only did they say no, they were totally oppositional to it. There was a conflict that needed to take place. But in the midst of that culture, in the midst of that environment, in the midst of people who had many other gods that they worshiped, there was a woman that God had prepared. Now, this is very important because in the New Testament, Jesus said, when you go to a new place, and when you're going there for the purpose of God, you should look for a man or a woman of peace. And looking for a person of peace means looking for the person in that place that God is already working with. Now, why was he working with Rahab? What was it that made Rahab so receptive? How did she get faith? We'll have to come back to that. But I think the fact is sometimes God will lead us into strange situations because he's prepared people. And those people are not always the people that we would expect. You know, I was reading recently of some people who were in Asia, and they were going into a city that was somewhat hostile to the gospel. And they prayed ahead of time and they said, God, you need to show us someone in this city that you are preparing. And so they went to the city and they were there in the marketplace. And they wrote that we walked into the center of the village where the well was. And a person approached me out of nowhere and said, have you eaten? We said, not yet. He said, well, come to my home. His name, and then he fed us. He introduced us then to the village leader and told the village leader who was ill that these newcomers believe in a great God and they will pray for you. And that became the opening for that gospel to go into that village. So God has prepared Rahab. I think that Rahab, by being a prostitute, had an advantage. The advantage was, she already knew the corruptness of the system that she was a part of. She already knew the emptiness of the life that she had. She already knew the lack of love and respect in her life that she so longed for. And so she was looking for an answer. She had within her heart the desire for something more than she was already experiencing in her life. And so when she heard about God and the works that God had done, she said, if I can meet that God, I'd follow that God, because that God is a great God who does things for his people. And I've not been helped in my life by any God. So I think her heart was longing and was ready so that when those men arrived, I try and picture this. What happened? How did they meet? One way that they could have met was God could have spoken to them like he did to Cornelius. You know, Cornelius had a vision from an angel, and the angel said, now go send men to Joppa and look for this man named Peter. He's living in the house of Simon the Tanner that's by the sea. Go to that house. You know, they could have been walking along, and God could have spoken to them and said, now go to that house over there. Knock on the door. It's Rahab's house, and God has sent us here. I think, personally, I imagine that this woman was out looking for customers. And that she was down in the market and she recognized, hey, here's a couple strangers. Now, instead of looking at them as customers, I think that what she did was she recognized, hey, these are some of those people that I heard about the God doing great things. Hey, this is my opportunity. Let me bring them into my house because I want the blessing in my house. I think that the indication is that Rahab had some understanding that to welcome them in was to seek for God, to exercise her faith in God. In fact, that's what we're told in the book of Hebrews, that when she's welcoming these spies in, that is the way that her faith in God is being demonstrated. And so we see that God is leading in a very strange way. So faith involves risking what you cannot keep to gain that which you cannot lose. What was it that Rahab could not keep? She could not keep her life. She knew that God's judgments were just. She knew that God had promised to give that land to the Israelites. And so she was convinced that her and her family would die unless God rescued her. And so she was willing to stop protecting her life, because you see, as soon as she took the spies into her home, in that culture, it was very clear that by harboring those spies, if the king found out, she was dead. So by welcoming in, she was risking her life. But she said, what's the alternative? The alternative is, if I don't risk my life, I'm going to die. I think I'll risk my life. But I'm going to risk it in the right way. And I think that's the challenge that many of us have, is that we hold on to things that are certain to be lost because we can take nothing in death unless we have eternal life. So the great exchange of faith is to say, let me risk my life in various ways. Not necessarily just in a physical way, but let me risk my time. Let me risk my reputation. Let me risk my promotion. Let me risk my career advancement. Let me risk what it is that other people consider to be very valuable. Let me risk that for something greater, the reward of God. Let me risk it for the glory of God. Let me risk it for the plan of God. Then we're exercising faith. So when Rahab invited the spies in, it was her faith at work because she was making a decision. She said, this is better, to trust God in this matter, than it is to try and save my life some other way. Wow. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Well, let's talk about her faith a little bit more. I think, how did Rahab get saved? Okay, she got saved not simply because she believed that there was a God in heaven and earth. Now, she did believe that. But her faith in believing that about God caused her to take an action. And this is the vital thing that we have to see about faith. If faith means we simply believe something in our heart about God, that is not genuine biblical faith. Because the Bible tells us even demons believe that God exists. It's not enough. What we have to do is believe who God is, believe what he says, and then act on it. That's why the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, which is talking about Rahab here, always says, by faith, something happened. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left his home. By faith, Jacob or Isaac put his hands on his children. By faith, Joseph worshipped on his staff. Oh, I got that one wrong, didn't I? Who worshipped on his staff? Quiz. Oh, look in Hebrews 11. Okay, what was that? Oh, you guys, okay. We'll have to pay attention. Hebrews chapter 11. But all by faith, they all did something. And by faith, Rahab welcomed the spies. That was her faith at work. Now, we learned that her faith was based on what she had learned about God, because she had been told that she'd heard, wow, God delivered these people out of Egypt. Egypt is so powerful. Egypt is so... How did these people get out? The only way they got out was by the power of God. Then she learned how God had given them total victory. Said, wow, this is truly the God of heaven and earth. So she knew that because she had learned about the works of God. She had heard about the actions of God. This is what needs to happen, both for the Word of God and for our own lives. When people hear about the things that God does in our lives, when they hear about the mighty ways that God delivers us from sin, when he hears about how we've gotten victory over something so besetting in our life, that others, when they hear about it, they too will get faith. They too will say, if God can do that for you, maybe he can do that for me. That's the positive value of giving an active testimony about God's work in our own lives. To be able to say, let me give you the hope of faith for God for you as well. And so we should constantly be doing that. This was the testimony of God's works that came to Rahab that inspired her confidence in God. And then we see that her faith looked for a reward. She said, not only did she bring the spies into her house, and she could have said, that's enough, I'm just doing work, the work of God, but she believed something. She said, I'm asking God to save me and my family from the destruction that's coming. That's what I'm looking for as my reward. Now, was that a bad thing? Was that like a, you know, she should have been just altruistic, say what's the right thing to help the spies? Again, we remember from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. Because those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. The nature of faith is to understand that there's a difference whether or not we follow God. And the difference is that God rewards faith. He wants to share his blessings with those who follow him. And he wants to do great and mighty things in the outcome of the lives of people who trust him, because this is to his glory. And so we should expect, if we follow God, there are many rewards. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 tells about some people who didn't get their reward in their life. So this is not a prosperity teaching, that if you follow God, you're going to be rich. I'm rich, but you can't, you know. No, God made me rich from birth. And then he made me doubly rich when I came to know Jesus. Well, I'm talking about different types of rewards. What were the rewards for Rahab? What did she get as a result of trusting God? What did she get? You say, well, Rich, it's pretty clear. Well, we didn't get there yet because they didn't attack it. We don't know. Well, I'll tell you, her and her family are spared. Okay, it's coming. We'll see that. But I'm telling you, there's something far more of a reward that she got than simply her life being spared, her family's life being spared, much more. I'll tell you what she got. She got a new family. Not only did she preserve her physical family, but she got a whole new family, because the Bible tells us that after this, she got married. She left. She was no longer a prostitute. She got married to a guy who had a son. Their son was named Boaz, who then had a son named Jesse. And that Jesse had a son named David. And then one of the descendants of David was named Jesus. So she got into the lineage of Jesus by faith. As a result of her trusting God, she got to be part of the biggest plan that God was working out in all of time. And she had no idea. But God was rewarding her faith, saying, okay, this is the type of woman that I want in my lineage. Because there's five women that are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. There was more women, but five of them are mentioned. And she's one of the five that's mentioned in Matthew. Rahab. Wow. You know, this is like the woman in the time of Jesus who broke the bottle of perfume and poured it on Jesus. And she was just wanting to show her love and her devotion to Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll tell you, what you're doing is something part of so much bigger. You are anointing my body for burial. And wherever the gospel is preached, this story is going to be told. I'll tell you, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, those of you who don't know God yet, God has something so beautiful to come out of our lives, but it requires us to exercise faith. And if we will have faith in God, and we will respond to what God shows us to do, and if we will take specific steps of faith, we will be part of something so significant that when we look back in our life in eternity, we'll see how God wove our life together as part of this bigger picture of great significance. You know, one of the reasons why people get education, it's because they want to do something significant. They want to make a difference in life. In this generation in America of young people growing up, one of the things that this generation wants is to do something significant. That's why this generation is doing more volunteer work for nonprofits, why they're wanting to do things like volunteer overseas and do projects for kids and stuff, because they want to make a difference. I think that's great. But I'll tell you, the biggest difference we can make in life, the most significant thing, come as a result of people who have faith in God, and God gives them a plan and a vision what to do in their lives, and they do it. Now, many times, the significance isn't fully understood at the time. This woman, Rahab, she wasn't thinking, hey, if I hide these spies, I'm going to become a part of the whole plan of God and sending a Savior to the world. No. But God saw it. God liked this woman. He said, I really like this Rahab. Out of this whole city, here's the woman that I like, because she's got faith, and I'm going to use her. So out of this city of Columbus, right now God is looking for people of faith. And if he sees you, you say, yes, God, I will do what you show me to do. God said, man, I like that person. I'm going to use them. It's part of my eternal purpose. That's what God is doing, is he's looking for people like Rahab. I'll tell you what else she got. She not only got a new family, she got a new reputation. I know 6 times her name is mentioned in the Bible, or 8 times it's mentioned in the Bible. 6 of the times she's referred to as a prostitute. However, what she's known for is her faith, not as known as being a prostitute. Yes, that was her past life. That's who she was, but that's not who God had for her to be. And I'll tell you, it's wonderful when we have the shame of our past changed into the glory of God, because he gives us a new name and a new identity, and we get a new reputation, because our reputation is, God says, there's my woman of faith. So it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's beautiful that God wants to give us a new family and a new reputation because of him. You know, I don't have a watch on. I got this band on now that's to pray for the persecuted church, but what time is it? What's that? It's 2:09. Oh, I got time. Good. Okay, then I want to just share this little song with you, because I think this song could have been sung by Rahab. It's a contemporary Christian song that I've been listening to recently, and as I'm preparing this message, I said, man, this is like Rahab's song. So let's listen to a couple a verse of this song, if we can get it up there, if it works.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've got a moment to change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. It's just okay, it's not enough. Nothing less of life.
Okay, we'll stop that, right? Isn't that what we're talking about here? I don't want to just keep living my life, going through motions and protecting myself. Let me give it all for God. Let me go all out like this woman Rahab. And I think it's so beautiful, the life of faith. Let me just give you one last point here. True faith always directs us to Jesus Christ. And in this story, you get to see Jesus, because he's always the object of our faith. And where's Jesus in this story? Well, Jesus is in this story because they tell her, well, the sign or the symbol by which you are going to be saved is by hanging this scarlet rope outside of your window. So when we see that scarlet rope, we'll know this is the right house that we pass by, and the destruction passes by this house. Now, I know some of you are thinking it should say scarlet and gray, but it's just scarlet. And the reason is because scarlet is the color of blood. We know how earlier God had instructed Moses in Egypt to instruct the Israelites to kill a lamb and to put the blood of the lamb on the top and the side of the doorpost, so that when the destroying angel came, it would pass over that home, because when it saw the blood, it was seeing the picture of the sacrifice that was to come of Jesus Christ, who was the perfect sacrifice for sins and who would save us from destruction of God's wrath. And so this woman, by hanging the scarlet cord, is giving a picture of the future of a Savior who is coming, who would be dying for her sins. And so she's giving us the picture that faith always relates to Jesus Christ. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Well, this woman inspires me to want to live a life all out for God, to not live a safe life, to take a risk for God, to be able to believe what I know about God and to put it into action. How about you? You know, I believe that God wants to speak to us. You know, it may be that already you're engaged in something God has called you to do, and you just need to keep on, you need to keep doing it. Some of you are going to get new visions. Some of you, it's going to be, as we get into the weeks to come, it's going to be the battle of Jericho. It's going to be the battle for your soul, because Jericho is going to represent a stronghold in your life that God wants to tear down. God wants to do great things for His glory. So let's go ahead and pray. I'll invite the worship team up. Lord, I thank you that you're no respecter of persons. That when you were looking in the city of Jericho, and there was a woman who was a prostitute who said, "I believe you're the God of heaven and earth," you didn't say, "Oh no, I don't use prostitutes." Lord, I'm so glad you're no respecter of persons, that you accept men and women from every nation who fear you and do what is right. Lord, I thank you that you are calling to Rahabs that are here, those that know something about you, they've heard about you, and being here is even part of the way that they are to be called to a life of faith. Lord, I know that you bring international students to the United States for this very purpose, that they would come here and hear about your works and place their faith in you. Lord, I know that there are Americans who live around here that have heard about you but have never seen what faith really looks like. And Lord, I pray that today, through this story, you would give them hope that you are for them, that you're calling to them. Just while we're in an attitude of prayer, when that woman placed that scarlet rope in that window, and she was pointing ahead to what Jesus would do, now Jesus has come, and he's given us the demonstration of God's love, that he died as a sacrifice for our sins, that he was raised to life for our justification, that we could stand before God perfect. And he's given us his Spirit so that we could follow him. So I'm going to invite any of you who have not made a decision to follow Christ today, that you could say today, I want to follow in the footsteps of Rahab. It may not be that you have lived a life like she has lived, but maybe there's certainly in all of our lives there are things that have made us empty, that have been violations of God's law of love. And the way to respond is to say yes to God, to put the scarlet rope in your life today, which would be to accept Jesus Christ. So if God is speaking to you through this story today and through this invitation, and you say, yeah, I want that relationship with God too. I want to have faith. I want to have faith in Jesus. Would you raise your hand if that's describing you, if God is like pulling on your heart today? Anyone here? Any Rahabs here today? Okay. Lord, thank you by faith, Rahab welcomed the spies, Lord. That it was in the context of hospitality that her faith was being exercised. I pray, Lord, this week I'm asking that you would show us which people to welcome into our lives. Lord, that there are people that you are preparing for us to invite in as an exercise of our faith. People that we recognize that you're sending to us. Lord, I'm praying right now for your people here to recognize when those people have come this week. They will see them as Rahab saw the spies. In Jesus' name, amen.